Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all. Yesterday in our study on Ephesians chapter 1, we were talking about the call to do God's work is special. Not just anyone can do it. Each worker is called to his particular ministry. Let's continue with that thought today. And now, here is our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
It was probably not God's first intention to have the firstborn be the set-apart ones for ministering unto him. But he needed to show the children of Israel that the call to do his work is special. It's not just anyone can do it. That's why I believe that the Bible was written through holy men of old. You see, the Bible actually has as its author God. God didn't just use the personalities of the men who wrote scriptures. He gave them every word. They mechanically wrote down or dictated those words from God. But it's interesting that God chose only holy men to do so. And my friend, that just goes to show that God just doesn't put anyone in his work. He doesn't base it upon your skills and ability. Peter and John were noted by the Sanhedrin to be unlearned and ignorant men, and yet God used them. And you see, God looks at the heart. And the man God uses, the person God uses, is the one that puts Christ as all in all, as well as first of all. In Luke chapter 14, verse 26, we find out that Christ must be ahead of wife, children, and parents. The tribe of Levi was set apart for the sacred duty of ministering about the tabernacle. Although the things of God are for all men, certain ones, as Paul, get the joy of doing special duty. Now the word first come to Moses, then to Levi, then to the tribe of Israel. But it was not to stop there. Israel was to take the message to the world. Now, let me ask a question. Does God change? Is he the same yesterday, today, and forevermore? You say, oh yes, God is the same from the very beginning. And you're right, from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God, the psalmist tells us. But now think of 2 Peter 3:9 as you think of the unchanging God. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, he says there, he doesn't want any man to perish. He wants every man to come to repentance. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, we read this, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth." Now, again, he would have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Israel was selected as a channel through which the knowledge of God and salvation would be brought to the whole world. They were chosen of God to do that, just like a Christian is chosen to witness to the lost and dying world. In Isaiah chapter 42, verse 6 and 7, we read this, I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that are in darkness out of the prison house. You see, the Lord wanted the Gentiles to hear His precious word. He said in Isaiah 49:6, and He said, It is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. Many times we find in the Old Testament that God does things for Israel as a testimony to the world, that the world may know there's a God in Israel, that the world may know about the things of God. So that tells us in the Old Testament that God wanted the gospel to go to the world, but it was through Israel. He wanted the world to be saved then. If you don't believe that, then that makes 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, a new truth where He's not willing that any should perish. And if that's so, then that shows that God had some change in Him. He changed from just Israel to all the world. So my friend, see that this is a truth that always has been a truth. It's not a truth about God that wasn't true before. It's always been true with God. God so loved the world. Now, the choosing out of Israel from amongst the nations to be a channel through which other nations could receive it does not mean that God rejected or refused the other nations' salvation. It means if Israel fails, then they won't be saved. For example, if you're saved, you know Christ is your Savior, God has chosen you to share the gospel with your family if your family is unsaved. Now, if you fail, then your family ends up going to hell simply because you did not carry out your responsibility. In the day in which we live, God has called pastors to preach the word from the pulpit. If we water it down, if we hold things back and don't give the whole counsel of God because we're afraid we might offend somebody, then, my friend, we're also doing the same thing that Israel did, is that we're withholding truth that may help someone else. So if we fail to send out the word through our personal witness and then through missionaries that we send abroad, then we fail those who should hear the way through us. In Ephesians 2:12-13, it says that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. And so, my friend, you're brought to that saving blood by the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that Jew was nigh, and the Gentile was far off. But that does not change the fact that both were outside of Christ. Now, you can tell your children, don't go outside. And they may not go outside. Or if they do, you have two of them. One goes out and goes across the street to the neighbor's yard. The other one is outside, but he's right by the door. Both of them are outside. Both of them are in trouble, although one went further than the other. Well, that's the way it was. Israel was outside the door, and the Gentiles across the street. The Jew had the responsibility to share the gospel with the world. And the Jew tried to keep it to himself. The salvation of Israel was for the purpose of making salvation possible for other nations. As no one is predestinated to go to hell today, you go to hell because you simply don't receive Christ. In like manner, you are saved to be a light who shares the saving gospel of Christ. If you are saved, then you are sent by God to be a witness. That behooves you to heed the message according to the Word of God. Now, notice how the words of verse 1 of our text concur with that thought. He says, by the will of God. Do you realize that the word will is not to be perceived as a demand? Nowhere in Holy Writ is the word will used as a name for a command of God. However, it does designate what occurs or should be done by others as the objects of God's good pleasure in the carrying out of the divine purpose. You see, one of the reasons you're saved is to witness, to share the gospel with a lost and dying world. Are you doing your duty? Since we say we love God, should it not then be our highest desire to do the will of God? And is not His will seen, as we read in 1 Timothy chapter 2, that all men might be saved, and in 2 Peter 3:9, that He was not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance? And so should it not be in our hearts to fulfill the will and desire of God by trying to bring others to righteousness? And does He not, in Daniel chapter 12 and verse 3, say that those that turn many to righteousness shall shine as the stars forever? So, my friend, if you want to do the will of God, the first thing you'll do is you'll seek to turn others to Jesus Christ as Savior. So He says that He's an apostle by the will of God. Then He says, to the saints. That word saints is from the same Greek word that is often translated holy or holiness. Hallow, sanctify, and sanctification. The word means to be set apart for God. If you are saved, my friend, if you have received Christ as your Savior, you are a saint. For example, my name is Andy. I am Saint Andy. Not because I'm a great guy. No, that's not it at all, because I'm not a great guy. But rather, it's because Jesus Christ is my personal Savior. My friend, if you're saved, you are a saint. You see, becoming a saint is an act of God the Holy Spirit, who takes you out of the first Adam and places you in the second Adam. That's an act of the Holy Spirit. It's not an act of the church. I can't declare you saved. I can't declare you sanctified. Only the Holy Spirit does that. This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast. 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No breaks. Click to the lamp and light. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no breaks. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying may God's peace be with all. that are in Christ Jesus.